Hi, everybody. I'm Mark Amadeo, principal of the Amadeo Law Firm. Thanks for joining us today for a brief webinar covering the SBA's consolidated all-small mentor-protege program. Now, before we get started, I just want to say a few words about me and my law firm. So I've been practicing for over 20 years and am the founding partner of the Amadeo Law Firm. And the firm has locations in D.C., and in Maryland, and its primary focus is on federal government contracting. And we help clients with all of their government contracting legal needs. That includes negotiations with teaming partners, post-award negotiations with contracting officers, and general FAR and DFARS compliance. And we also help clients protect their valuable technology in their dealings with government and private sector partners. Now, we'll provide you with my contact information at the end of the presentation, which we're going to try to keep as short as possible. So if you have any questions on the information that I'm presenting today, feel free to reach out to me after the presentation. So we're talking today about the SBA's Consolidated All Small Mentor Protege Program. Now, the All Small Mentor Protege Program was started in July of 2016, and it was modeled after the SBA's already existing 8A Mentor Protege program that the SBA made available for small businesses in the 8A Business Development Program. So small businesses that were not part of the SBA's 8A program could enjoy Mentor Protege benefits under the new but separate All Small program. And the goal of the two programs is to enable small businesses to obtain business development assistance from mentors that would enhance their ability to succeed and ultimately compete on their own for government contracts. So the kind of business development assistance that mentors can provide includes sharing expertise over contracting, technical, or strategic or management issues. And it can also include providing financial assistance. Now, lastly, and perhaps the most valuable assistance may come from working along with the mentor on a government contract that they've teamed up for. Now, I just want to touch briefly on that last business development benefit that I just talked about, the opportunity to contract alongside experienced contractors. So the mentor-protege rules allow for mentors and proteges to team up and be awarded contracts that are set aside for small businesses. And those rules specify that the teaming arrangement has to be in the form of a joint venture in which both partners are acting as a prime contractor. Now, the firm has a webinar and a white paper on joint ventures for those that want more information. And we'll be updating the white paper and putting out a new webinar sometime soon to reflect recent changes to the joint venture rules. But for now, this ability of a mentor-protege joint venture to be awarded a small business set-aside is arguably one of the biggest draws under the SBA's mentor-protege program for both the mentor and protege. For small businesses, as joint venture partners, they get the opportunity to perform as a prime contractor and all of the experience that goes along with being a prime. And for mentors, they get a shot at working as primes on small business set-aside contracts that they might otherwise not be eligible for. And more specifically, under the SBA's rules, a business that isn't a small business or a woman-owned small business or a service-disabled veteran-owned small business or a HUBZone small business, well, a business that is none of these can nevertheless participate as a prime contractor under a small business WSB, SDVOSB, or hub zone set-aside when it's acting as a mentor in a mentor-protege joint venture that's been awarded the set-aside contract. And this opportunity under the mentor-protege rules for businesses, and in particular large businesses, to contract under set-asides that they don't otherwise qualify for is pretty unique and rare. Now, I just want to touch briefly on the mechanics under the SBA's rules that allow this to happen. Now, first, the SBA regulations on small business SDVOSB and WOSB and HubZone joint ventures say point blank that mentor protege joint ventures with eligible proteges can compete for these kinds of set-asides. So for example, as long as a protege is a WOSB, the mentor protege joint venture can bid on a WOSB set-aside contract. Now, but still, there's a hurdle that mentor protege joint ventures have to clear in order to compete for and be awarded small business contracts. And that hurdle is called affiliation. Now, under the SBA's rules, when two companies are deeply entangled through their ownership or through their financial arrangements, for example, the SBA will deem them to be affiliated. And under those rules, whenever a contractor is considered to be affiliated with any other company, the business sizes of the contractor and any affiliated companies are combined or added up together to determine if the contractor is a small business for purposes of a small business set-aside contract. So the affiliation rules would ordinarily prevent a joint venture from competing for a small business set-aside when only one of the partners is large or when collectively both of the parties are large. Now, before the latest revision to the joint venture rules, the SBA regulations used to say outright that businesses submitting offers as joint ventures were considered to be affiliated. But in the final rule that the SBA published last fall, for some reason, the SBA removed this statement. Still, even after its revisions, the SBA rules indicate that joint venture partners are subject to affiliation. And quite frankly, I can't imagine a circumstance in which the SBA would not consider a large business to be affiliated with a small business joint venture partner. In any event, the SBA rules clear the affiliation hurdle by providing an explicit exception to affiliation for mentor-protege joint ventures. So in November of last year, the SBA published a final rule in the Federal Register that did a number of things. And one of them was to combine the 8A mentor-protege program with the all-small mentor-protege program. And that final rule also made some changes around the edges to the all-small mentor-protege program, which we may highlight as we go along here. Now, the SBA's reasoning for the merger was basically that given that the two programs had identical purposes and benefits, combining them would not only save time and resources for the government and contractors, it would also spare small businesses from having to make a choice between the two mentor-protege programs. So the question is, well, what happens to mentor-protege relationships in the old 8A mentor-protege program? Well, any existing mentor-protege relationships under the 8A program migrate over and continue under the all-small program. And they continue for however long they had remaining under their existing relationships and mentor-protege agreements. Now, one thing to keep in mind, though, is that any existing 8A mentor-protege relationship will count against the two lifetime limit for mentor-protege relationships. And we'll touch on that lifetime limit in a couple of minutes. Now, the application process under the all-small program basically is the same as it was before the consolidation. So before applying, applicants have to register in the System for Award Management, or SAM, and they have to complete an online training module, and they have to enter into their mentor-protege agreements. And once they've done all that, they then have to complete an application on the SBA's website at www.certify.sba.gov, and they have to apply under the protege's DUNS number. And they're going to need a few things on hand when they submit the application. They're going to need the protege's NAICS codes, their certificates showing that the mentor and protege completed the online training module, They're also going to need the protege's business plan and any active mentor-protege agreements for any of the protege's other mentor-protege relationships. And if the protege was ever determined to be other than small, they're going to need any size redetermination letters from the SBA. Now, one last thing to keep in mind about the application process is that the SBA anticipates about a 105-day turnaround on processing completed applications. So a few words about the mentor-protege agreement that we just mentioned. The mentor-protege agreement has to meet certain requirements under the All Small program. And those requirements haven't really changed under the SBA's final rule, except where I've highlighted on the slide in red. So first, the MPA has to be in writing. Now, before the SBA's final rule, the mentor-protege agreement just had to explain how the business development assistance would help the protege. But now the SBA wants a clear and specific identification of exactly what kind of assistance the mentor is going to provide. Now, the mentor-protege agreement has to identify a point of contact with the business mentor. It has to say that the mentor will provide assistance for at least a year and that the agreement can be terminated by either side with 30 days notice to the SBA. And lastly, if the protege is already in another mentor-protege relationship, the mentor-protege agreement has to identify how the assistance under the new agreement is going to be different. Now, as for the term of the agreement, the total term of a mentor-protege agreement can be no longer than 6 years. So, for example, if the initial term of a mentor-protege agreement is 2 years, it can be extended for up to another 4 years. Now, I highlighted this in red because this is a slight difference from the All Small rules before the consolidation. Under those old rules, the maximum term of a mentor-protege agreement could only be 3 years, but it was subject to an extension for an additional 3 years. So as a practical matter, a mentor-protege agreement could last for 6 years with the extension, but with this most recent change, the SBA has saved the parties the trouble of having to amend or extend the agreement to get the full 6 years out of the relationship. Now also, in order to get the benefit of the joint venture affiliation exception that we talked about earlier, the mentor-protege agreement has to be approved by the SBA before the joint venture puts a bid out on a contract. Now, I mentioned earlier that the SBA rules anticipate that mentors and protégés will contract as a joint venture. And as with the mentor-protege agreement, there are requirements on the joint venture agreement that have to be met for the joint venture affiliation exception to apply. So first, the joint venture agreement has to meet the 12 requirements under the SBA's joint venture regulation that's listed up there on the slide. Now, I won't mention all of them, but one of the requirements is that the joint venture agreement has to designate the small business as the managing venture. Another requirement is that it must state that the small business must own at least 51% of the joint venture. And another requirement is that the joint venture agreement must identify the responsibilities of the protege and the mentor over certain matters like contract negotiation or source of labor and contract performance. Now, besides the joint venture agreement requirements, the joint venture must meet performance of work requirements in order to take advantage of the affiliation exception. And under those performance of work requirements, the protege must perform at least 40% of the work that's done by the joint venture. And then lastly, to take advantage of the affiliation exception, before the joint venture does any work under a contract, the protege must submit a certification to the SBA that states that the joint venture agreement meets the 12 requirements that we just referred to, and that the parties will comply with the joint venture agreement and with the performance of work requirements. So let's talk for a minute about mentors. Under the mentor protege rules, a mentor has to be a business concern. And under the SBA rules, a concern is a for-profit business. Now, there's no upper or lower limit on the size of a mentor, so it can be a large or small business, but it has to be capable of assisting the protege and imparting value. And it can't be on the list of debarred or suspended contractors. Now, something new in the rules after the consolidation is an affirmative statement in the regulations that the SBA will reject mentors who don't possess the requisite requirements or that employ or control the protege's managers or that are affiliated with the protege for some reason other than because of the joint venture, because of the mentor-protege relationship. Now, mentors are permitted to have multiple protégés, but generally, they can't have more than three at one time. Now, I highlighted this in red because this is a change from the old rules that anticipated that mentors would only have one protégé relationship at a time. Now, an exception to this three protégé limit is if any protégé is located in the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico. And in that case, up to two approved mentor-protege relationships with a protege from Puerto Rico will not count against the three protege limit. Now, if a mentor does take on an additional protege, that protege must demonstrate that its relationship will not adversely affect either protege. In other words, it can't be a competitor of any existing proteges. And lastly, a mentor can't submit competing offers from its separate joint ventures. Now, as for protégés, a protégé has to be small under its primary NAICS code or under a secondary NAICS code that it's seeking business development assistance under. But the protégé can self-certify that it's a small business. There's also a general expectation that a protege will only have one mentor, and a protege can be owned up to 40% by its mentor. Now, as I mentioned, a protege can seek a mentor under a secondary NAICS code if it shows that its capabilities will be further developed. But the regulations are pretty clear that the SBA will not approve a relationship in a NAICS code in which the protege has no experience unless the protege can show that it has experience under a similar NAICS code or that the code it seeks a mentor for is a logical progression of the work that the protege already does. Now, there's a general expectation that a protege will only have one mentor, but it can have a second mentor if the second relationship will not conflict with the first relationship. And if the second mentorship is for an unrelated NAICS code as the first relationship, or if the protege is looking for a specific expertise that the first mentor does not have. Now, the last point I want to make today is that proteges generally are permitted to have two mentors over its business lifetime. Now, there are two exceptions to this two mentor limit. First, if a mentor protege agreement is terminated within 18 months of the date that the SBA approved it, in that case, the mentor protege relationship won't count against the limit. You know, but contractors need to keep in mind that the SBA regulations warn that if it looks like a protege has repeatedly entered into a lot of short-term agreements, the SBA may not approve any additional mentor-protege relationships. And also, if the SBA determines that a mentor has not provided the assistance that it agreed to provide in the mentor-protege agreement, or if the assistance it did provide was unsatisfactory, the protege will be permitted to substitute the mentor and not have that mentor-protege relationship count for the two lifetime limit. Well, that's all I have for my presentation today. I want to thank everyone for listening. And if you have any questions about the presentation, my information is up there on the slide. So please don't hesitate to contact me.